Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke and talk about the way to peace. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
All youth and youth groups are encouraged to spend 1 hour with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament during Adoration Night at Corpus Christi Cathedral, Wednesday, August 21st. Beginning at 6:30 p.m., join with Bishop Mulvey at Corpus Christi Cathedral to pray for all the youth in our diocese as they prepare to begin another school year, and to pray for the upcoming 30th anniversary of Youth Spectaculars. There'll be praise and worship music, snacks, and fellowship afterwards in St. Joseph Hall. For more information, call the Diocese Office of Youth Ministry at 882-6191.
Immaculate Conception Parish in Skidmore, 600 East 1st Street, will hold their first annual Viva la Virgen Fiesta on September 8th from noon till 6 p.m. Everyone is invited to join them for delicious beef brisket, fajita tacos, sausage wraps, a cakewalk, children's games, train rides, and more, including music of all kinds. To hear about it, call the parish office at 287-3256.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and welcome back.
Thank you, Barbara.
You've had a very busy summer.
I've been around a little bit, and it's been a very busy summer, but very enriching, too.
Well, good, and we'll talk about that in our second half because you participated in World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, so we'd love to hear about your experiences.
Sure. Well, not all of them.
Not all of them.
They'll take forever.
That's right, yeah, more than what this program will be.
We'll trim them down a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, yeah, we look forward to that. But before we do that, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel started out very interesting, I thought, when Jesus says, I've come to set the earth on fire and want it to be ablazing. That's pretty dramatic.
Well, it is. It's kind of one of those mysterious sayings, I think, of Jesus. But I think when we look at, you know, when we go back to Scripture and what is the meaning of this fire, we know that God appeared in the burning bush, and the sense of fire is, it's really, Jesus is saying that I've come to light the fire, the earth on fire, and with what? Certainly not physical flames
right.
and fire, but the fire of his love, the fire of his word.
The symbolism.
The fire of the truth, you know, that this would certainly set the old way that we think, and even today. I mean, it's about conversion. It's about change. It's about bringing the truth down to earth and revealing that truth. This past week, there was one of the Gospels that we read during daily Mass, which says, I have revealed to you everything that the Father has given to me. So it's that truth that is from God
that is revealed in Jesus and through Jesus to the human person that sets things on top of each other. I mean, it turns things around. And that's the kind of fire that he's talking about. And he says, how I wish it were already blazing. You know, I guess in that enthusiasm that all of us have at some point, we really want the beauty of the truth, the beauty of love, the beauty of mercy, the beauty of forgiveness to already be present when we see so much of the opposite in our own lives, but also around us, that he really wants to turn things around with his love, with his life, and to pass that on to others. So it really is kind of a judgment on the earth that I'm bringing you this, and it will set things on fire. And it's all contained in his word if it is taken as the truth and lived in daily life.
Right. And then it was interesting on this, the next part of this gospel, you know, he says, you think I've come to establish peace on earth? No, but rather division, which it's surprising since peace was really a very important theme in Luke's gospel accounts that Jesus is talking about division.
Well, even in the Beatitudes of St. Matthew's Gospel, as well as Luke. I mean, there's that blessed are the peacemakers, the people who can bring that peace. But we know that sometimes, peace has a price, obviously,
right,
that we all wish there was peace. We all want peace. I can't imagine anybody not wanting a peaceful life, a peaceful world, a peaceful existence, a peaceful community, a peaceful city. You know, there's so many of these things. But it's all of those things that are in opposition to the truth, opposition to God's word, that really create the havoc and the chaos that is around us that does not promote peace. And in fact, you know, the wars that are raging constantly in the world, there's hardly ever a time that there's not some war somewhere. What is it? It's born out of a hatred for the other person, a hatred for their faith, their ideals, their whatever it is, their ideologies, and all of that just creates this division among people. But Jesus, before we get to the division part, but I think, you know, he also says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And baptism, of course, means to be immersed into, mm-hmm. to take upon himself these. We could see at the Transfiguration, which was probably an image of peace, where right. Peter and James and John, Moses and Elijah and Jesus were there, and Peter wanted to stay there. This is the pinnacle of that life of beauty, of truth, of peace, and we want to stay there. But Jesus says we have to go back. I have to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, and that's the baptism that mm-hmm. he's speaking of. We have to pay, you know, for the peace that we want. We have to be engaged in being peacemakers. Peace doesn't happen just because we wish for peace. It's because we're willing to immerse ourselves in the efforts toward peace. And that creates a cross, a suffering. And it could be a little thing. I mean, just our own pride, crucifying our own pride.
Mm-hmm.
Which for many, that's very difficult.
Right.
Crucifying our mentality, putting aside our own truths for the higher truth. And those things bring peace, but there's a cost to it. And this is where vengeance and revenge and a hardened heart against another person does not create peace. And so we're not baptized in that sense. We're not baptized into the life of Jesus, into the life of the Word, to bring that peace and reconciliation about. And so we're not peacemakers, and we're not living that baptismal call to crucify ourselves, put aside ourselves, and seek the good of the other, and seek the good, the higher good of things like peace and justice and reconciliation.
So peace takes action.
Oh,
you
yes.
have to take action.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we all live in our own little worlds, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and that's not what he came to bring. And so I think in that sense, then, he says, I've come to bring division, that there will always, unfortunately, be those that don't want to find the higher road, the higher call, the life of grace, the life of truth, of following Jesus in everything. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good people But it takes more than just being a good person to create the world and the society that we all want. We have to get more involved with that.
Well, and we've talked about this before, that kind of in order to do this, we all need to step back and have those moments of silence and think, what is it that I need to do?
Right.
You know, do I need to put on the cross my pride?
Right.
And do I need to put on the cross my selfishness? Mm-hmm. You know, we just can't keep on moving like we've been moving before. You've got to have that moment of silence to be able to reflect on that.
Right. And I think this is the whole baptismal dynamic, is that we're all human beings, and so we're endowed with goodness, but we also have that tendency, which is part of our fallen human nature, toward wrong, toward evil, toward sin. And sometimes we're blinded by, you know, by those things, that we become attached to them, or we've justified our actions, even though they might be sinful, or at least wrong, or at least not creating the unity and the harmony that there could be, and we're unwilling to move away from those things. But the call of the baptized is to let go of those things, even if they're good, to move, as you said, in action toward a greater good. And so you have this schema here that Jesus says, you know, a father will be divided against his son, a son against his father, a daughter against the mother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because even in a family, even in people who love each other, even in a community that's working together, it may not be what it could be. And so some may want to in a response to the word, a response to the truth, want to move to a higher ground, and it divides people. It's like, it's almost like they think you're condemning them. No, you know, I remember I had family members when I went to the seminary, and, well, why do you have to do that? You know, it wasn't my personal direct family,
right,
but
right.
others, you know, but it's a call.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great aunt who went to a cloistered convent of sisters, and her father never understood. In fact, he told her, and this is way back in the early 20th century, so 1930, let's
right.
say. Said, if you walk out that door, it's the last time you'll see me. He greeted her, kissed her, but he never saw her again. It's not that he was a bad person, but you see, the gospel calls for more, and she felt that call to go, and so there was a sense of division there.
There was a division, so it was a daughter against the father, or
right,
father against the daughter.
Right, but the good that she was able to do and the good that he did, but we have to see that peace or reconciliation, unity, harmony among people, it costs, and we have to be willing to pay that price. And if all of us kind of responded with that kind of radicalism of choice, where we don't seek personal comfort, which is one of our downfalls today, we seek kind of an individual, personal comfort zone, and in that we kind of isolate ourselves from other people's needs, in the ability to help. And so there might be a little collection for some fund, and so I put it in, I might feel good. But that's, like you said, there's more
right.
that we can do with our very life. And so, you know, everyone responds to the call of the gospel as they can understand. But I think the call today, especially in a world that is so divided, is that we all listen seriously to the particular sentences, the words of Jesus, and say, this can be put into action in this part of the world here with me, and in that I can make a difference. And it might bring on persecution, it might bring on laughter from the family or whatever it is, but hey, who cares? There's more in heaven.
Listening to a higher power.
That's right.
Thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to talk about World Youth Day. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's coming September 20th at North Shore Country Club, the first annual golf tournament benefiting St. John the Baptist Catholic Church Building Fund, 7522 Everhart at Yorktown in Corpus Christi. Registration begins at noon with a 1 p.m. shotgun start. Entry fees include refreshments before and during play, lunch, tournament golf shirt, and gift package. Sponsorship opportunities are now available. For more information, visit the parish website, stjohnthebaptistcc.com. If you have additional questions, please call the parish office, 991-4400.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, you recently came back from Rio de Janeiro, where you participated in World Youth Day. And I know on this program that we were running some live broadcasts with you and several of the other pilgrims that were there. So I know we can't talk about it in this entire 12 minutes, but the first question I wanted to ask you was, what was your first impression when you arrived in Rio and saw those millions of young people there?
Well, they weren't there when I first got there. I was a little bit early, and there was no gathering together at that time right away. So it kind of was a gradual thing, and I think that was probably part of the excitement to see each day the numbers increase. And, of course, as it got to Saturday and Sunday, probably because well, it was winter down there, so school was actually out. It was beginning as I was leaving 2 weeks later. But, you know, with the weekends and probably some of the – with the weekend, probably some Brazilians and even Argentinians were more free to come. So that increased the crowds. In fact, they superseded what anyone thought as far as numbers. They say on the last day there were 3 million.
Right, that's
young people.
Heard.
So it was a kind of a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. But the first couple of days when we all started gathering, there were catechesis in different spots.
Would this be around town or around on the beach?
Around town, no, no,
right.
No. In fact, the beaches were almost empty because of that.
Okay.
During the day. And then in the evenings, they would have programs there on the beach. And different groups, singing groups, praise and worship groups would come and give some testimonies, witnesses, but also just to play and sing. And it was just a really joyful thing. And that kind of crescendoed, you know, it was small, and then it began to grow like Thursday, Friday. But I went to a couple of the catechesis with Cardinal Dolan gave one and Cardinal O'Malley. But the other thing I think that impressed me there was just the way that they there was questions and answers afterwards. And the real beautiful dialogue, you know, with the pastor of the church and the young people. But to hear them really asking very deep questions, which for me as a bishop gave a lot of hope that the young people are thinking deeper than just the practical nature of the American mentality. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in the English catechesis with there were some from South America and some from Africa, the African-speaking countries. Australia and Oceania and different places like that. So it was not just Americans, although mainly.
Right.
But just the dialogue and asking, you know, questions of medical ethics and just very, very
thought-provoking
questions. And then the response of the two cardinals was very, very wonderful. Of course, then we watched the Pope arrive, mainly on TV.
Mm-hmm. Could you feel the excitement in the air when
plane
has landed and he's on his way?
Of course, I was in the room and watching it at that point. I guess a little chicken, but I think they were projecting it out on the screen. They had screens. Like, they started with 10, and then because of the increase, they had to get 10 more. So there were like 20 screens, big, wide screens, stretched along that beach, about 10-mile long beach, and so the kids. But you could hear, even from the from the hotel room, as you're watching it on TV, and you could hear the kids outside, like, you know, just kind of
how exciting,
screaming. So and then watching the Pope and his humility get into the little small car instead of the limo. He's just I talked to some cardinals that came with him, and he said he just refused to ride in the bigger car, and so it caused a little bit of chaos.
Much to the anxiety of his protection detail.
Yeah, it was quite chaotic, and that was kind of a big discussion in our group anyway.
It was a big discussion over here, too.
Yeah, right. So, but, you know, I think the So the catechesis was going on before he arrived and after he arrived, and then the dialogue after those catechesis. And they actually, the young people at the catechesis would spend all day there. So they had the talks in the morning, and then they had lunch, and they had time for adoration, rosary. Confessions were going on all the time.
I saw that in a field somewhere, the little confessionals.
But also at the catechesis, yeah. They had them. So they were everywhere.
Scattered everywhere.
And the priests were busy. I mean, they were really, so it was just an outpouring of faith and people really giving their life to Christ. You could just see it. A lot of young vocations you could see. I mean, on the streets you could see religious men, women, you know, in their habits, but young people. Mm-hmm. It was just an invigorating experience. I think as far as, you know, the Pope's message to the kids, and of course he spent time going to different events. I mean, he met with the government officials and city officials, but he also went to a poor area of Rio and went into the homes and visited with the people there. So really I was able to identify with them. He met with the young people of Brazil or especially of Rio. But his message over and over, well, let me back. He also had Mass one Saturday morning with the bishops present, priests, religious women and men, and those in formation, so at the Cathedral of Rio. But his message throughout all of this was really, you know, to come to Christ, that Christ Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and inviting them to come to know him, to love him, to embrace him. And I think his words, which really touched me, and I don't speak Portuguese, although I picked up a bit, but you could hear, because his Portuguese is Spanishized, you know.
Right.
It's kind of, but at the airport when he arrived, he said, as Peter in the Acts of the Apostles says, I do not bring silver or gold, but I bring the treasure I have, Jesus Christ. And in the whole place, I mean, they were mainly government officials were applauding, you know,
right,
that's what he came to bring. And certainly in his words, that's what he communicated. He spoke a lot about service, that to really be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, we have to serve. Mm-hmm. And in conjunction with that, that we have to be on mission. We're all on mission. And I think this is what excited the kids. It was not just, you know, the officials, so to speak,
right,
in quotation marks. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, the officials of the church, because we're all that, but that we're all on mission to bring Christ to others through service. And I think that was the thing. The proclamation is one thing verbally, but it's also through our actions of service. And I think, you know, what you saw and said that others were talking about, you could see it in him. It's just the simple gestures of
well, he reached out and he touched people, and he reached out and touched young babies, and he's jolly looking.
Yeah. Now, that's new. That was one thing I was going to say at the end. But the last 2 weeks, I stayed on in São Paulo and with about 60 bishops from around the world. And one was from Argentina, who's known him, I mean, right there. Mm-hmm. And he said he's just a different man. He was not like that. He was very serious, very focused, very kind, but not that kind of exuberance that you see. He said, I don't recognize him.
How interesting.
But it's, you know, the grace of that office of a man that has to embrace the whole world. So
the Holy Spirit has ignited him.
Right, right. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you could just feel that the life of the Spirit just kind of moving up and down that beach. And and even sometimes till 1 o'clock at night, you know, the kids were out there. And Saturday night, of course, they spent overnight on the beach. But anyway, but the other expression that he used often, and I for myself, you know, have to examine myself, is going beyond the doors that we set. We all set limitations on ourselves, on our activities, our parish boundaries, our diocesan boundaries, our personal boundaries. And he was really calling the kids to reach out beyond, to break down the barriers that might be there, you know, among people, and to really, you know, it's just, he kept saying, go beyond, go beyond, go beyond. And I think that really excited the kids with new possibilities. We're all missionaries, and missionary is one who goes beyond his or her country and beyond his or her town. But to really see that we're all responsible for each other. And I think this was just an incredible, incredibly exciting moment. I would just also point my experience, you know, again, and I wasn't close. I mean, none of us really got very close because he was there for the kids. And, and that was very obvious. I've said that a couple of times.
Yeah, because I asked you if you had a little FaceTime
right with him. No, he was there for those kids. Mm-hmm. And I think the bishops respected that too. You know, none of us were jumping, trying to get to the front. Of course, he was quite well protected. But just the excitement, walking back to the hotel after the Mass and other activities, because we had to wear our cassocks, so we were quite well marked. But just the people stopping us to bless things, to talk, to take pictures. In fact, we had a couple of people from the official people from our hotel and group that were kind of walking with us to rescue us in some ways. I mean, I would have stayed there as much as I could, but they were kind, but they said the bishop has to move on. But it really was just exciting, you know. And you felt like you weren't there lording it over them. I was as excited as they were and taking pictures. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time. I will end with this, and this was kind of a saying even on the plane coming home. The gentleman sitting next to me told me this, and I said, yes, I heard this many times. There's quite a rivalry between Brazil and Argentina in South America, evidently. Oh. The Brazilians say, well, the Pope may be Argentinian, but God is Brazilian. So that's kind of the way they justify the fact you may have contributed the Pope, but God is ours.
That's pretty funny.
The Brazilians are quite proud of who they are, very rich culture. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, the whole city seemed to embrace.
And they're
everything right, that was going right. on, and what
kids,
a tribute.
Yeah, and one of the people at the hotel said to us that there's so many activities, first of the year and all those things, those parties, but they said they've never seen that many people before, period, on the beach, but they've never seen the beach so clean at the end of those kinds of parties. So the kids really live their faith also in ecological way of keeping it clean. And
I think that states volumes, because we've all been to events where it doesn't always happen
that
way.
Exactly.
So that's beautiful.
That was wonderful. Very wonderful.
Good. Well, thank you for sharing all of that, Bishop. And, of course, we're glad you're back with us safe and sound. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises, which surpass every human desire. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you and your families this week in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.